Peter chapter 2, beginning to read at verse 18. Slaves, submit yourselves to your masters with all respect, not only to those who are good and considerate, but also to those who are harsh. For it is commendable if a man bears up under the pain of unjust suffering because he is conscious of God. But how is it to your credit if you receive a beating for doing wrong and endure it? But if you suffer for doing good and you endure it, this is commendable before God. To this you were called, because Christ suffered for you, leaving you an example that you should follow in his steps. He committed no sin, and no deceit was found in his mouth. When they hurled their insults at him, he did not retaliate. When he suffered, he made no threats. Instead, he entrusted himself to him who judges justly. He himself bore our sins in his body on the tree, so that we might die to sins and live for righteousness. By his wounds, you have been healed. For you were like sheep going astray, but now you have returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls.
Well, for most of us, many of us this morning, I'm sure that the events surrounding the death and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ are somewhat familiar. We heard some of the events recounted for us as Mark and Beryl read that story, that account in Matthew's Gospel. And can I recommend to you today, if you've not taken time already to think about, to read again from God's Word, the events surrounding the crucifixion of our Lord, take time today, take time this afternoon to read again, meditate upon, pray through the things that you read. But this morning, briefly, I'm going to focus not on the what's of Jesus' crucifixion, but I'm going to concentrate on a couple of the whys. Why did the Lord Jesus Christ go to the cross? What was his purpose in doing so? And to help us in that this morning, we're going to look very briefly at 1 Peter chapter 2, the verses that Rachel just read for us. Well, in this section of 1 Peter, Peter is exalting the Lord Jesus Christ as the highest example of how Christians should respond to persecution, how we should respond to suffering when we receive them for doing what is right, for doing what is commendable before God. The Apostle Peter says in 1 Peter 2, second half of verse 20, if you suffer for doing good and you endure it, this is commendable before God. To this you were called, because Christ suffered for you, leaving you an example that you should follow in his steps. Think about the events that we have just heard about from Matthew's Gospel as I read these words from 1 Peter. He committed no sin, and no deceit was found in his mouth. When they hurled their insults at him, he did not retaliate. When he suffered, he made no threats. Instead, he entrusted himself to him who judges justly. Well, as God's people, Jesus is our highest example in dealing with unjust suffering. Jesus is our highest example in dealing with persecution for doing what is right. As we saw in the events leading to his crucifixion, even during the time that the Lord Jesus Christ spent on the cross, he didn't respond sinfully or falsely to the accusations that were made against him. He didn't respond aggressively or in a threatening manner. Rather, the Lord Jesus Christ entrusted himself to his Father, who is in judgment over all people. The Lord Jesus Christ entrusted himself to the tender care of his Father in heaven. When we think about the things that the Lord Jesus went through, the physical sufferings and the emotional, the spiritual sufferings that he went through, isn't that amazing that the Lord Jesus Christ should deal with those things in that way? Without sin, without aggression, without retaliation, and without threat. And likewise, we are to respond when we suffer unjustly, when we suffer for the sake of God's glory, When we behave that way, God's word says, it is commendable before God. But Jesus' death wasn't simply an example of undergoing unjust suffering in a manner which glorifies God. As important as that is, we know this morning that there was something even more profound going on in the events that we have just read about when Jesus died on the cross. And Peter reminds his followers, or his readers rather, of two things that I'm going to highlight this morning. First of all, Peter reminds his readers that Christ died as our sin bearer. And we see this in verse 24, such a precious verse. He himself bore our sins in his body on the cross. In other words, when the Lord Jesus Christ died on the cross, he did it as our substitute. He did it as one who stood in the place of his people. Because on the cross, the sin, the guilt of all Jesus' people through all of time were transferred to him. He took them upon himself. We would have been condemned sinners, but he took our place. He took on our sin and our shame on the cross. In his death on the cross, the Lord Jesus Christ dealt with our sins. He experienced the consequences of our sins. He bore the just penalty for our wrongdoing. We might say that the Lord Jesus Christ carried the heavy weight of God's just punishment and anger for our sins in his body on the cross, so that we might go free. Well, at the beginning of the service, we heard those words from the prophet Isaiah that make this point so clearly, 600 years before the Lord Jesus Christ came. Isaiah wrote there, he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on him, and by his wounds we are healed. By his wounds we are healed. And those words were quoted by Peter in verse 24 from Isaiah 53. As God's people this morning, we have benefited from what some theologians have called a great exchange. The Lord Jesus Christ has borne our sin, he's borne our guilt, whilst we have been credited with his perfect righteousness. His righteousness has been exchanged for our sin. Verse 24 reminds us that the Lord Jesus Christ died so that we might die to sins. In other words, the Lord Jesus Christ died so that sin's penalty would never be able again to condemn us as believers. The Lord Jesus Christ died so that we might live for righteousness. He died so that you, so that I might be delivered from sin's dominating power. He gave his life so that we could live lives which increasingly glorify our God. Let's pause there a moment. When we reflect upon these things, how our hearts should go out to our Lord Jesus Christ this morning. As you have sung those songs, I hope that that's been the position of your hearts this morning, that your hearts have cried out in worship, in love, in praise, in adoration to the one who gave himself in our place, to the one who is willing to stand in our place, the one who is willing to bear our punishment for our sins so that we might go free. Let me challenge you this morning. Is Jesus your substitute through faith? Jesus died on the cross for everyone who would ever put their trust in him. Does that include you this morning? We must ensure that that includes all of us who are here this morning. Is Jesus our substitute through faith? One writer issues this challenge. To put it bluntly and plainly, if Christ is not my substitute by faith, I still occupy the place of a condemned sinner. If my sins and my guilt are not transferred to him, if he did not take my sins upon himself, then surely they remain with me. If he did not deal with my sins, I must face their consequences. If my penalty was not borne by him, it still hangs over me. If you've yet to do so in your lives, come to the Lord Jesus Christ this morning. Come to him and put your faith in him for the forgiveness of your sins. And for those of us who are his people this morning, can I challenge us once again as a church, as individual believers, are we living out our Christian lives as those who have been bought by the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ? Are we striving to increasingly live for him in a manner that glorifies our God and our Saviour? Firstly, then, Peter reminds his readers that Christ died as our sin bearer. Secondly, Peter reminds his readers that Christ died to bring them to God. And we see this in verse 25. For you were like sheep going astray, but now you have returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls. Peter says that before we came to the Lord Jesus Christ, we were like sheep gone astray. We were sinners. We'd wandered far away from God. We were out of fellowship with him. It's the nature of sheep to wander away from the shepherd. And as sinners this morning, our natural inclination is to wander from God. Before we came to the Lord Jesus Christ, we, like sheep, were wayward. We were foolish. We were purposeless. We were helpless. We were lost sinners. We were like sheep without a shepherd. We were far from our God. But let's thank our Father in heaven this morning, because the Lord Jesus Christ, God's words tells us, is the good shepherd. He's the great shepherd, and he is the chief shepherd. By dying, he is the shepherd who calls and cares for his sheep. By dying, the Lord Jesus Christ brought us into fellowship with our Heavenly Father. He brought us back to God. He brought us into his flock. He brought us into his fold. By dying, the Lord Jesus Christ dealt with the sin that was the barrier to our fellowship with our God. Well, those who this morning, throughout time, who repent of their sin, those who come to the Lord Jesus Christ, are like sheep returning to their shepherd. That's the wonder of the cross. That through the cross, sinful people, hell-bound people, rebellious people like you and like me, are reconciled to God. We're brought into an eternal relationship with him. And how that should thrill our hearts this morning. How that should cause us to praise. Because the Lord Jesus Christ was the one who did everything that was necessary to bring us back to God, to bring us into fellowship with our Heavenly Father. The Lord Jesus Christ was the one who did everything that was necessary to bring us into an eternal relationship with himself through his work on the cross. Well, this morning, as we reflect upon these things, may it be to our eternal joy, and may it be to the glory of God.